Well, rivalry. Today's reading from Genesis focuses on rivalry and specifically on sibling rivalry. Now, I will admit that as an only child, I can't fully understand what that's like, but I bet many of you can. The stories that I have heard of siblings competing for attention or fighting over who gets the bigger bedroom or maybe even debating who mom or dad loves more. As I say, I don't totally understand it, but I know that it happens. However, I have heard very few stories, actually zero, where the siblings get to a point where they conspire to kill another sibling the way Joseph's brothers did in our reading for today. Even in our worst fights, most of us aren't bloodthirsty. Instead, I think we're more like the brother Reuben. We want to be the hero. We want to save the day. We want to swoop in at the last second and solve the crisis before receiving great recognition and applause. If you have the scripture in front of you or the Bible open with it, if you look at verse 22, it says, Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that Reuben might rescue Joseph out of their hand and restore him to his father. If Reuben rescues his brother, he can be the hero, the one that saves his father's favorite son. But when Reuben realizes that he is too late, that his brother is gone from the pit, his vision of himself as the triumphant deliverer vaporizes. When Reuben discovers Joseph gone, his language reveals his focus on himself rather than on the fate of Joseph. The boy is gone, and where can I go? What will happen to me? What will happen now that I'm not the hero? Instead of confessing to his father the truth of what happened, Reuben goes along with the lie the other brothers tell, that Joseph has been killed by wild animals. Isn't this more like us? Possessed of good intentions, but caught up in forces larger than ourselves, losing our agency in the midst of broader evil acts. After all, who has not imagined themselves as the hero? And yet, when faced with the actual chance to be the hero, whether that's to tell the person harassing somebody in the street or on public transit to go away, isn't it much easier to hurry by, head down, keep silent? And just the same, it's easy to post messages of support of issues we care about or political positions that we believe in on social media and appear heroic. But it's usually a lot harder to convince ourselves to take a look at our own privilege or to go to a rally or to make a personal change of any kind. We want to be the hero, but when the moment comes, it's much harder to take a stand. There is hope for us yet. God is at work. The Spirit is alive and moving in the world. God is active every day, all the time in our lives. Perhaps it's difficult for you to believe or see that, and I don't blame you. This past week has been a week where daily I have told God to show up and show up quick. We need the Spirit here. But then the other day I recalled a quote that was helpful, and it reminded me of how God works, especially when we want to be the center of the story, the fixers. What makes us the saints of God is not our ability to be saintly, but rather God's ability to work through sinners. Put another way, what gives us the ability to be everyday heroes is not our own ability, but rather God's ability to work heroic actions through us, a bunch of worn out, broken sinners. As Joseph says to his brothers, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Now, this is not to say that God delights in our suffering. I do not believe God wanted Joseph to be sold into slavery or thrown in that pit or separated from his family. Rather, Even in the worst of circumstances, God will work for good. The Spirit will still be present and moving, and God will be active in and through us. God is in the brokenness. God does redemptive and holy things in this world through the midst of the worst events. God does redemptive and holy things in this world through, of all things, human beings, all of whom are flawed. God did not create you and then say, okay, go off and do your human thing and good luck. Instead, God continues to be at work in you. God continues to be at work in all of us, in all people, even the ones that you think can't possibly be changed. God continues to remake us, reshape us, reorient our thinking and behaviors, reorient the bad situations in the world. God is at work. We are invited to hope. We are invited to be optimistic. We are invited to have confidence that God is at work. Now, I shared with you earlier in the sermon that it's been a week where I've struggled to see God, struggled to find things to be hopeful about. And as I was reading the text over and over, I found myself in one of those moments where all I could say was, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me find some hope. And then, as most millennials and folks my age do, I went on Twitter looking for help. And so I sent out this tweet to all the folks who follow me. I said, I'm trying to preach about hope this Sunday, but if I'm being honest, I'm low on hope myself. And if you have examples of experiences that have brought hope to you this week, then I would love for you to share, because even pastors need someone else to share the gospel with them from time to time. And so here are some of the things that people shared with me that brought them hope this week. Number one, my wife's apple crisp. Number two, watching so many college students register to vote. Number three, an interpretation of Wendell Berry's idea of difficult hope, which is hope that you have that you would not be altered or swayed to change your convictions, even in the face of circumstances around you. Three very different takes, three very different ways of finding hope. And yet all of them are true and valid for each person. Hope can find us in a multitude of ways, in something as simple as sharing a dessert baked with love, to watching young people find their voices and take action, to a more philosophical, theological kind of hope. God is present and at work in all of these ways and more. And God's invitation to hope is not that you would hold all three kinds of hope at once, or even that you would hold any of them all the time, but that whenever you do experience hope, you would share it. You would use it to lift others up. So together, we are invited to hope. The world may feel like it is crumbling or imploding all around you. Every day, something new to shock you or disappoint you or sadden you. But in the midst of all that, God is at work. We are still invited to hope. And as one of my favorite passages from Isaiah reminds us, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is at work, even when you and I struggle to see it. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.